Okay.
Testing. Ja, her kommer lyd.
Ja, det kommer noe her. Ja,
det ja, funker. Ja.
Skal vi kanskje gjøre noe slikt? Hi.
Hello.
Beanbag podcast.
Beanbag podcast.
Beanbag noise. Okay.
Yeah, so
that was the atmosphere.
We made a pillow fort again.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Because we are live from Woo! Oslo.
Except I just realized, right, this entire podcast is basically pirate radio now.
Because yeah.
everything's embargoed until your secret is out.
Yeah.
So we just have to keep recording until, like, at some point you get outed. And or we can hop over that episode and play it in a different order, but then that'll be weird. Then we can never refer to anything that happened in that episode. It's like Vegas.
Yeah. but context. Outed?
You run with it. It's your thing.
Yeah, because I'm moving, apparently.
You say that like it's happening to you. Like you're a passive agent.
I said I'm moving.
You said apparently.
apparently, I am to be moved by some external forces. Push, pull, you know, all that stuff.
Okay, basic Newtonian physics.
But yeah, I just bought a house.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That seemed like it came very quickly.
Not really, because we have been looking for a while.
Okay.
But when it happens quickly, I guess.
So when did this all happen?
Yesterday.
Yeah, that happened pretty fast. And how quickly did it go down?
Well, I looked at it sort of on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we decided that this was good and made a bid on Monday.
Okay, like first thing on Monday?
Yeah.
Did you have to wait for anyone else to see it first?
And this is interesting, by the way. We decided to make the bid on Sunday, but we wanted to wait to Monday, just not to be too eager.
Right. You want to play a little hard to get.
Yeah, of course. And I called the Realtor.
American English, but okay.
Realtor.
Estate agent.
I called him 9:20.
That's not playing hard to get.
And he said, "Oh, it's good that you called because we have a bid, and so the deadline is in 10 minutes."
Oh, but because you hadn't started in like a formal bidding round.
Yeah, because it was not public showing or anything.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so it pays to be like a little less hard to get. Okay.
Yeah, and it was made under the suggested price.
Mm.
So yeah, we upped them a bit, and they decided not to follow through, and we got it.
Can you say, like, as a percentage of the total house price, like, how much you went over for them to just go, you know what, this isn't worth it?
We can talk real numbers.
We don't have to talk real numbers. We can, but we don't have to. I was just wondering about the percentage, well, actually.
They made the bid on 4.8.
Okay. They what was it on at? 4.9?
4.990, actually.
Oh, come on. That's like shop pricing. That's like...
So we just bid... because I sort of knew that the seller wanted the suggested price. Or,
yeah.
Because that was already a bit cheap compared to the next sort of house. So we made a bid on 4.9 just to sort of make a statement. We want this, right?
Wait, like 4.99 or just...
No, just 4.9.
Okay, so you're still under the asking price.
Over the first bidder, but still under the price.
Okay.
And the estate agent called me and said, they're out, but the seller really wants the sort of the asking price.
Can you go up a little?
Yeah.
Right. So you did.
We did, but not all the way.
Oh,
just halfway.
Oh, so at this point you're haggling over what, like 1,000 kroner?
No, 50,000 kroner.
Oh, 50,000. Okay, that's a little more. All
that's
right.
Money because
that's money you could have spent on something else. So I get that.
Yeah, and we
buy another horse. Not really.
Well, we're buying a new kitchen. Really.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it is a really small kitchen.
Huh.
In not that small of a house, but they also have managed to take the refrigerator and put it in sort of the kitchen island on sort of the ground level.
Oh, so you have to bend down to pick everything up?
It's horrible.
Like an animal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, you got to fix that.
Got to tear down. Well, actually, we said you can get it, just take out the kitchen.
Right.
We will bring a new one.
Wow. Yeah. Like, take out the whole thing?
Yeah, and it's not that much to take out, so...
Okay. Are you taking the kitchen from where you now live?
No.
You're just going to, like, get someone to come and put a new one? Wait, is this a new house? It looked new.
Yeah, it's...
So it's brand new. Brand no one's new. Lived in it before.
Yeah.
And they've still done it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want a doer-upper, he said. I'm very happy to just move in somewhere where nothing needs to be renovated or changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that.
This time we are going to pay someone to just do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not so bad. And they're very quick. Because they do this all day, every day. Like, everything goes super quick.
And the kitchen setup is really... It's just on a wall.
One line.
Yeah. Well, we will, of course, have an island as well, as you do. But, yeah, that's just...
Yeah, we have one now, but, like, I feel like this is ridiculous. Like, having a kitchen island in the UK feels like a, like, oh, look at me, I've got a fancy kitchen. And we now have a kitchen island, so I feel like we have a fancy kitchen.
Yeah. Where you can make food while you converse with your guests.
We need to buy some bar stools for that to happen, but yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, congratulations. That's very cool. Yeah. And this happened in, like, you went from not even, like, having been in a house to, like, to owning one in how long in time?
It's, like, less than 24 hours, actually.
Yeah.
It's more like 14 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By British standards, I would say that's pretty fast.
But this is coming after months of searching and going to other showings and so on.
And
so,
reading reports?
Yeah, lots of reports.
What are the reports about?
The technical status of all the things.
Of the drains?
Yeah, of the drains. That's where they get you. Really?
How do they get you with the drains?
Because you can look at the listing, and as we have talked about before, people make an effort for the images and pictures to be nice, and everything is good in sort of the listing. And then you go into the technical report made by an independent, what are they called? Toxtmen.
Yeah, I don't know what the English is for that. They're like an independent... Are they a legal professional? Are they, like, legally qualified? Or are they a surveyor?
It's more like a surveyor, because they are often sort of... They have a background as a carpenter.
Okay.
So they know houses.
Right.
And so on. Standards and so on. So, yeah. So there's a technical report where they grade the quality or sort of the tear down from 1 to 3.
Mm.
And you really want to take a look at the fundament of the house and sort of, is it called drainage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Avløp.
No, not avløp, but drenering.
Oh, okay.
So how you keep water from going into the fundament
Okay. Like insulation from water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Waterproofing? I don't even know what it's called. I'm so not a... Yeah. I'm not a tuxman.
Yeah. So, and if that's bad, you will get mold in the basement and so on.
Right.
And you don't want that.
You do not want mold in your basement.
And it's not cheap to fix that. And it's a really boring thing to fix. If you want to renovate, this is sort of the most boring place to renovate, because you just dig.
Literally boring.
You dig around the house and you put in some plastic insulation stuff and you cover it again.
Pretty boring. And it's time consuming and expensive
And it's like 2,000 to 3,000 kroner per meter doing that. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that seems expensive. I'm impressed that you know the figures for, like, how much it costs per meter.
Yeah, because we have to consider, okay, yeah, this is also good, but it's it has some problems.
Damp-proofing. That's what it's called in English. So
how much would it cost us to fix that?
Right. So, but you're buying a new house. So this is all...
I bought a new house.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Formally next week, I guess, when we sign a contract.
Sign the thing.
So now I have two houses.
Luxury problem. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun when you have, like, two sets of keys and you're, like, everything is duplicate.
Yeah, but we're also selling a house.
Of course.
And
how's that going?
Well, we had the showing yesterday.
Oh, cool.
And we got a bid.
Oh. But, so what happens now?
Well, it was, like, 200,000 under our asking price.
Okay.
And, of course, we are not too happy with that. But now we're having a private showing in 40 minutes, actually, for another couple. And so our estate agent hopes to sort of pit them against each other.
Right.
And drive the price up.
Right. Fingers crossed?
Of course. I've broken some legs, I guess.
So because you've now received a bid, technically you could be assured of the sale if you're happy to accept that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's all happened very fast, like in a very short span of time.
Yeah, and at the same time, almost.
Yeah, which is unusual. Like, I know people go for a long time between, like, buying and selling, and sometimes they do it in one order and sometimes the other. And, well, fingers crossed that, like, you nail both of those in, like, a 48-hour period or whatever. That would be pretty awesome. Yeah. Agile.
Yeah. No post-its was involved, though.
No post-its?
No.
Come on, you got to have like a list somewhere and post-its that you kind of move around and reorder.
I should have that next time.
So the new house, right?
Yeah.
It's brand new.
Yeah.
Have you ever lived in a brand new house?
No.
You will be delighted by the quality of double glazing. It is amazing. You might not even need to run the heating.
Yeah, but the heating is awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. So in the first floor, sort of, or the middle floor. The ground floor. there's heating in all the sort of the...
In the floor?
In the floor.
Oh, awesome.
And there's a balanced ventilation system.
Is that one of those fancy things that spits air in and out, or...?
Yeah, or not so much spitting, just calmly moving it around.
It kind of wafts,
yeah.
Bathing everyone in this kind of nice warm air.
So it is pretty warm,
yeah,
and insulated and all that. Yeah,
awesome. The other thing I wanted to ask you about does it qualify as a Rekkehus?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Here's a concept that British English kind of has, like an either or. Like Norwegian has a subtlety about this, right? In the UK, you have, like, a freestanding house, which is, like, one house lived in by, like, one set of people.
Yeah.
And then you have a semi-detached house, which is really two houses stuck together.
Mm.
Would that be a Rekkehus if you had two people?
Yeah, it would still be a Rekkehus.
Right, okay. Yeah. And then in English, you then go to terraced houses, which implies, like, several in a row.
Yeah.
But there is no... But, like, a Rekkehus, which I guess is a terraced housing? Yeah. Like reach house, right? Like a stretch of house in Norwegian. That can be like 2, 3, 4, or 5 N. Huh. Okay.
And this in this case we are in a sort of a house sandwich because there are three.
Nice.
We are in the middle.
Yeah. You're the poor leg.
Hmm?
You're the poor leg.
Yeah.
You're the topping.
The spread.
The filling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's a British sandwich. Oh my god, you're in a British sandwich.
Let's hope that I'm not.
Actually, you were in the other British sandwich, yeah. Anyway, sorry, go on. So, you don't want to be surrounded by Brits? What if the other owners are British people?
Yeah, so when I had to bring my headlamp, because there are no lighting, of course.
Because when you buy a house, a brand new house, are they going to have lights in?
No. Bring your own...
This is a Norwegian perversion. When I move into a house, I expect fucking light bulbs.
Yeah, but you want your designer lamps.
Yeah, but like you can switch those out after, but I expect to walk in a dark night and be able to turn the light on.
So I had to bring my headlamp.
Okay.
So I felt like a survivor. Survivor.
Headlamp survivor.
But someone have already moved into sort of the first house.
Okay.
So I could be really quiet in order to check the sound insulation.
Right.
And I didn't hear a thing, so that's good.
Huh.
Hopefully they will not buy a drum set or something.
Do they have kids?
Good question. I don't know.
I guess you'll find out.
Yeah, but because this will be different, because now we are living in sort of this one standing house.
Yeah.
And we have an estate around us.
Fancy.
Some space.
Yeah.
Sort of the neighbor is behind some sort of a line of trees.
Okay.
So we don't really have a neighbor relationship. Mm-hmm. And so on.
Yeah.
Now we probably need
have to get along
have
with
some
people.
Kind of,
yeah.
So that will be interesting.
Yeah. I was always a little put off by Rekkehus because I didn't want to be all up in people's shit.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's a little different the way we live, which is also in a sandwich, but we're in a horizontal sandwich, you're in a vertical sandwich. But yeah. Interesting.
But the sort of the architecture of the houses is. They have managed to sort of split them in a sense that
they've kind of staggered them, right?
Yeah.
So
you can be outside on your patio and not be in other people's shit.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Unless they have kids, in which case, good luck with that.
There will be fences.
Oh, yeah? Good fences make good neighbors, right?
Yeah.
Because are you like planning like this thing that's like 4 meters high and like with barbed wire on the top?
You're gonna build a wall, and they are going to pay for it. And I'm not kidding because I asked the state agent about it. Would it be okay, do you think, to build some fences on our sort of?
Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah, the neighbors have already planned to do that."
Okay.
And if both neighbors
plan to do it, then you're off the hook, right?
Yeah. Cheap fences.
Nice. Yeah, but then you have to look at the fence. Oh, man, I can't believe they bought this really cheap fence. You see, if I'd put up a fence, I would have...
The best fence. We have the best fence.
Of course. Well, Norwegians have the best
fence. Fence.
You have the best fence. Why does Norway have the best fence right now?
Segway.
Well, more kind of handbrake turn, but like, go with it.
I really wanted to make the joke about where I'm moving from to where I moved to, though.
Go on.
And this is really, I guess you have to know Norwegian. Let's see if you can,
okay.
If you are now trained so good that you get this. So you now live in Os, and we're moving to Røyken.
Okay, that is lost on me. Go on. Explain why that's funny.
Because Os, it can be...
To ooze? No. That would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah? Like to flow? To.
Yeah, it's in this semantic area, but it can mean like smoke.
Yeah. And the reiken is like smoke, fire, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's funny.
Very funny.
Have you moved up or downwind? Oh, you've moved downwind. I see. That's a bad step.
Downwind.
So the direction, the prevailing wind across Norway is usually from the east to the west, right? So like Bergen gets the weather the day before, and then Oslo gets the weather the next day, right?
Hopefully there will be no weather in Oslo.
Yeah, we don't have any weather. It's totally not minus 10 degrees outside right now, with a wind chill of like another minus 9 or something like that. Mm. Yeah. Are you prepared for this cold weather?
Yeah.
You say that now.
Well, I would think that because we have bad weather.
It depends. Like bad is subjective.
No. This is spoken from a person that hasn't experienced bad weather.
I've lived in Glasgow.
Yeah, sure, but...
Glasgow's weather is basically like Bergen's weather.
Bergen has the worst weather.
Okay.
Bergen has the worst weather.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What does Norwegian guy have to say about Bergen?
Glad to have known you. Godspeed. I'm really not that. I'm a bit bitter about the weather. I must admit that.
Well, that's why you're moving, right?
Yeah, that's a huge part, actually, of why. This is not good advertisement for... It's a beautiful place.
Bergen is lovely. Bergen is like a really, lovely. Really nice city.
Yeah.
And when the sun shines, it's extra nice.
Yeah. Those 2 days of the year.
When all your colleagues, like, step out and eat an ice cream in the street and then go back in the office.
Yeah.
Special day.
So, yeah, exciting. And now I'm going from being... Is it pendling? No.
Commuting,
of course. Pending on something else.
Pending or pendling?
Pendler.
A pendler. Is that even a word in English?
It sounds like sort of this person that goes around and... Panhandler, I'm thinking about.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But any...
Well, you're in the right city for that,
so
unfortunately.
I'm going from commuting by bus to commuting by train.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's very good.
Okay.
I prefer trains.
I agree.
You
can get up and walk around.
I just hope that it actually will leave on time.
Do you have like a train station right near you, or do you have to
like a 5 minute walk?
You're kidding. And does it take you right to Oslo?
Yeah.
So good.
40 minutes.
That's
43
good.
Though,
that's very, very good.
And I checked also the coverage. So I have a little area, which is my now coming Bermuda Triangle, of no 4G coverage. But that will be,
be okay.
The minutes where I'm...
You look at the wall and you breathe and you think about what went wrong with your life. And
yeah.
And then the signal comes back.
Yeah.
Nice.
Back to the grind. So yeah, exciting stuff.
Very exciting stuff. Like, almost more excitement in a short span of time than one, like, really wants. But, like, if it gets it done, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's probably good for a podcast, because we tried to record last week, which failed on so many levels. But
the bottom line is that Skype is an asshole.
Yeah.
I wondered actually if it was call recorder. I wondered if there was some combination of call recorder and Skype that just exploded it. But yeah, I was unhappy. I'm sure you were as well. Anyway. Yeah, no more Skype. Hooray!
Hooray. So, Skype is losing, but someone is winning.
I don't think they care. Yeah. Hashtag winning. Yeah, never say hashtag aloud. Back to Norwegian guy.
Yeah.
Norwegian guy's had quite a week.
Norwegian guy has watched a lot of television. The wrong channel, though.
Why?
Because tradition wants it that the Winter Olympics, the national treasure... should be broadcast on the national broadcast
system, whatever.
Corporation,
yeah.
Not anymore. Yeah. No. They have sold out.
Now it comes with adverts.
To fucking TV Norge.
Can you give like a summary of like the difference between, like, what is the qualitative difference between those two channels? Well, NRK is not a channel, but it's a broadcaster. It's like the BBC.
Yeah.
And
it's
TV Norge?
It's safe. It's predictable. It has all the production value because you pay a lot of money to the state.
That's tax money.
And TV Norway, it's a commercial-based broadcast company that has to get their wages from ads every 5 minutes or something.
I read a piece in the paper that was like, there seemed to be an awful lot of adverts interrupting this. So what they did was they timed, they tuned in at various times, and they timed how many minutes of adverts there were per hour. Because you can have up to 12 minutes per hour, right?
Something like that.
And they looked at it, and actually they said it came in under, on average. And I don't know whether that's advertisers not buying space, or whether it's just that there was so much exciting stuff happening.
Well, lots of exciting stuff happening.
Right. It just struck me, right? Like, ostensibly, Norway's official sport is ski shooting, right? Like the winter biathlon, right? Like cross-country skiing and shooting. Not literally at the same time, you stop the skiing and then you start the shooting and then you stop the shooting and start the skiing again. But like,
it would be a bit more exciting if they're actually...
Right? This is what I'm saying. Like, that's the next logical step, I feel. But the actually, it struck me that like the entire Winter Olympics is Norway's national sport.
Yeah, it's a celebration.
Like the whole thing. It only really kind of kicks off once every four years.
And so people, the people, criticized TV Norway for not managing to create this national celebration, sort of folkefest.
Okay. Did NRK previously like create a folkefest?
Yeah. And the NRK nails it every time.
How?
Stemning. Yeah.
Okay, like the kind of atmosphere and the.
Yeah, and also so they often bring. So they, for example, they have a setup where they invite people to come watch the live broadcasts.
Like in a studio.
Yeah, or outside studio or something on Youngstorget or whatever. I don't know, but So I think NRK is, they are probably better at including all sorts of people.
Okay.
And creating a lot of stuff.
Making it personable.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just people talking to camera, right? Or like just narration over the top.
Yeah, like, you have that a lot. They're actually sports, but also all the stuff that happens between the sports.
I meant like the stuff that actually was being broadcast was very just sort of like, here's a cold-looking commentator standing in Korea. And,
but NRK also have a history of having good commentators.
I've read a little about that, yeah. And of course, none of that talent has gone across to TV Norge, right? So they had to find their own people to do this, and it's not as good, is the perception?
The TV Norway doesn't manage to to take on the responsibility, the huge responsibility of broadcasting the Winter Olympics, where all Norwegians will be glued to the television and take a part of the winning that happens, because Norway is of course the best Winter Olympics nation in the world.
This is official now. This is actually official.
Actually, yeah, we had the stats
top of the medals table.
Too bad the world doesn't seem to care so much about the Winter Olympics compared to the Summer Olympics.
Right. Do you think Norway having like kicked ass and taken names is going to help with that? Or are they just like, it was won by this tiny little country of 5 million people, what the hell? It's even more irrelevant.
I don't know what to answer.
Yeah. Did you watch anything?
No.
At all?
No.
On principle?
Not so much on principle, but one, I don't have TV Norway.
Okay.
I can't be bothered to download the app and pay for the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And second, I don't really care about sports. So.
Previously covered, I believe.
So those two combined.
Yeah.
But you had that in the lounge area. You had some at work.
Oh yeah, they were streaming. They streamed the opening ceremony and stuff. But also, we have it at home. Like we have fibre broadband, and with that, we get access to a bunch of stuff. And one of the things is Eurosport, which carried the Olympics from TV Norge. Okay. I think we have both. I don't know, but I actually watch quite a lot.
You watch quite a lot.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah, you like it.
Well, I can take or leave a lot of televised sport. I can genuinely take or leave.
Yeah.
But I have a
you've earned the ticket.
Yeah. I have a kind of a renewed interest in cross-country skiing because it's something I now do. And so that's kind of fun to watch. But also I like seeing people like perform at the extremes of sort of human capability. I think it's really interesting. Like physical performances of a thing where they're really pushing the envelope, like snowboarding, like the big air competition for a snowboard. People were doing really like ridiculous stuff, like stuff that no sane person would actually do.
That was cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. But like what I really liked about the competition actually was that it became a competition of, okay, I don't even know if I can land this thing, but I'm going to try. I'm just going to do the most ridiculous thing I can possibly think of to do. And so many people fell down, and so like that it spoiled that run. But they were just throwing themselves at it. Like the men's and women's competition, both actually, people were just trying as much as they possibly could. It was really exciting to watch, not because I want to see people fall down and hurt themselves, but like because this is the edge of what is actually possible, and I thought that was pretty amazing. Even the figure skating, which I used to like more than I like now it's like it's exceeded my capability to like for camp, but mostly because of the music they pick. But like people are doing things that are just insane.
Yeah,
their bodies are doing things that are like only just barely plausible.
That's true.
It's extraordinary.
I can give the Olympics that it's probably more interesting than sports that involves balls.
I agree. The hockey is among the least interesting, which is basically a ball sport, right? Ice hockey. That's about the least interesting thing I saw. Yeah, ball sports. Is it because they're team things? Or is it just that... Yeah, I don't know. It gets more interesting, like, the more it gets down to the kind of the individual, the more interesting it is, I feel. Yeah, I don't know.
So, the Winter Olympics. So, we hosted the Olympics in 1994.
In Lillehammer.
Yeah.
And this famously slash infamously.
And this is made... It's sort of... It still rings sort of in the geist of Norway.
Yeah. Right? It's surprising how much that is the case. Why is that?
I don't know.
Everyone's still alive.
I think it's a combination of a really successful production.
Okay.
And the fact that that time as well we won a lot of medals at home base. So,
right. Very popular.
Yeah. But yeah, people look back at Lillehammer with both pride and reminiscence, I guess. And every time there's a sort of new application for the Winter Olympics, there's a lot of stir. People really want to recreate that thing. And it's not cheap to host the Olympics.
It's not. It's very, very costly for a country to do it. Yeah.
And the pitch is, but we get it back in
You don't. Marketing. You don't. Yeah. I've been enough around countries where like they were paying for stuff like that, and it's just a money pit, I think.
Because, but were you living? You were living in the UK when London had the Summer Olympics, right?
Yes, but I wasn't living in London at the time. But I've also lived in Manchester when the Commonwealth Games are on, which I realise is not a thing that...
The Commonwealth Games?
Right, this is not a thing that appears on Norway's radar, because guess what? Not a Commonwealth country. So, right, all those countries that we used to own and then reluctantly kind of gave back-ish, we still have a thing where we pretend like they're still an empire.
You still want to
We still invite them to
you
stuff.
You still want to kick their ass in cricket.
No. We get our asses handed to us at almost everything, with the exception maybe of cycling. All those countries are way more proficient at doing the things that we taught them how to do, like literally everything. But I've been in Edinburgh while the Commonwealth Games was hosted. I've been in Manchester while the Commonwealth Games was hosted there. We had the London Olympics. it strikes me that Norway's attitude or Norway's kind of relationship with Lillehammer 94 is like really similar to London 2012, which is that it was this amazing, beautiful time in which we were like, everything was great. Except like 6 years later, we've completely shitted in it. And whereas Norway is still kind of coasting along. In fact, has just kind of recovered its 94 glory, right? Because now even more medals and... to the point where people are complaining that Norway is like too good. Did you read the thing? There was some stuff in the press over the weekend about how Norway is basically just destroying winter sports for everyone else.
Yeah, it ruined the fun for everyone else.
Yes. Except in the skating, which the Netherlands are apparently allowed to have.
Yeah, because you have seen videos of Norwegian skating.
Actually, no.
Haven't you seen the...
Do they all fall down?
The vodka drinking Norwegian skater. We talked about this.
Wait, is this the guy with the Norwegian guy's kind of backwards cousin?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like actual serious Norwegian skating. Okay. I read a thing like during the Olympics though that said Norwegian skating is kind of like back on form. Like there was a long period where it wasn't good.
Yeah, because we had the Jon Olav Koss back in the days.
Okay.
During 94, Lillehammer, and since we didn't really,
No. So for someone who, like, doesn't like sport and pays no attention to sport, you know a little bit about it?
Yeah, you pick something up.
You just absorb it through the ether.
Yeah, of course.
By, I guess, reading the newspapers and stuff?
Yeah, the headlines.
Mm.
So many headlines.
It's true, there's a lot of sport. It's actually quieter about sport in the summer, I've just realised this. Like, in the winter, it's just like, sport, 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 sport all the time. Yeah. Cross-country skiing is happening near you.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You have done some cross-country skiing yourself.
I have. Yeah, it's become like a thing I do at a weekend now.
Yeah.
It's cool. You can do this too, now that you're moving here.
I realised this, because there's snow here.
Just a little.
And it kind of stays
put
for a time span.
Yes.
More than sort of 24 hours.
Mm.
And you can actually prepare ski tracks and stuff.
And they're still there the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this will be interesting.
Mm. Yeah, well, hopefully you get some new set of new skis.
So I'm moving in May, June, something. Okay. So I guess...
Oh.
That's just after the snow has disappeared, but next year.
New listeners may be shocked to learn that it is not snowy in Norway year-round. Seriously, so many people have the expectation that it's just winter here all year. No.
No.
Cool, though. You get to use your skis, finally.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Eventually.
You know what you should do? You should move house, like, right during mission camp.
No. Well, it will be right after.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Every time we say mission camp, it sounds like we are part of a church or something.
Not that kind of mission. Yeah, we go, we build things.
Religiously. But,
agnostically, in my case.
But you don't... So... when you live in Oslo, you can go to Nordmarka or something and get lost in the endless ski trails.
You can't. There are too many other skiers.
Yeah, but you also did the Norwegian thing and went to the mountains, right?
Yeah, we did.
Did you also visit the cabin?
We stayed in a hotel. There's only two of us. It's not remotely cost-effective to stay in a cabin. It's like, you know what? We could stay in a place that... It's warm. Other people look after the food stuff. Like, you know, everything is basically taken care of. And it costs about the same for two people. So, yeah, we did. My husband starts a new job this week. So last week was the only week that he could really take a week off. Which, unfortunately, is the only week that people in Norway and all the children and people in Denmark and all their children decide to visit Norway's biggest ski resort.
Yeah.
So it was busy. It wasn't unpleasant, but it was busy.
Yeah.
And Danish children are hilarious.
Why? Why?
Firstly, because the Danish language is amusing to a speaker of Norwegian, and secondly, because children are hilarious when they're other people's, and like you only have exposure to them for like 5 minutes. After that, it just becomes tedious. But yeah, no, it was good. We mostly did downhill stuff, but we did a day with like long run, so yeah. Cross country. My husband got a lesson. My husband is not enjoying going downhill. So he got a lesson to try and help with that, and I just went off and did my own thing and saw hare trails. Yeah, so you know, like snowshoe hares, which it turns out are
like
snow school hare,
like the animal, not
like hare. Yeah. yeah, none of my colleagues, it turned out, knew what a snowshoe hare was, like, which are these hares with extra big feet which are good at walking on the snow. And they're just trails everywhere. Like everywhere. You're just sitting on the lift and there's just trails and trails and trails. And I'm like, either there is one very, very busy hare who's just cannot get enough of hopping through snow, or there are like a million hares up there. It's astonishing.
Yeah, you should be careful with those.
Because?
It's the most dangerous animal in the forest.
What about the bears and the wolves?
The killer hare, we call it.
Yeah, yeah. Vorpal bunny. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I didn't see one. I wanted to just see one. They're so cute. I didn't see any. They're very shy, I guess. But I saw their footprints everywhere. Yeah.
So, but do you do the snowboard or the skis?
I don't do downhill skiing anymore. It's very boring. I took up snowboarding, like, I don't know, like, oh God, 20 years ago. Like, standing on cross-country skis, it's like the first time I've been on skis in about 25 years. Which is differently good, right?
Yeah.
Downhill skiing bores the pants off me. Snowboarding is great.
Mm.
I don't know why. Like, I just find it a totally different experience.
It's cooler.
Of course it's cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do the 360s and the tail grabs.
Yeah, not so much. Yeah, I just try and make it downhill, like, without falling on my ass. We pretty much, like, we tracked out the whole resort, though. Like,
yeah.
I feel like we kind of... There's one run at Trysil that you, like, I do not want to go down unless on my best day, which is called The Expert, which is a gradient of 45 degrees.
Ugh.
And I really want to try it. Yeah. Like, I've done all the other black runs, I think, and I'm not totally put off by the idea, but it's clearly... It's not only, right, it's not only steep, but it's also... it's banked and it's cambered, so, like... It kind of, I can't, this is not for a podcast, but like, the run is like that.
Yeah.
So like, you can't even just go straight down in a straight line, because like, as a snowboarder, you've got to turn. And I'm not going straight down a straight line. I would die. But like, oh, it looks like a horrible experience, but I still want to try it, because I haven't done it.
Mm. So you're not one of those that goes for the off-pist tracks and the pow.
I totally would, yeah. But it was completely tracked out.
Yeah,
like, course. There wasn't enough new snow.
Yeah.
By the time we got there, everything had been done, so it was kind of uninteresting. But, yeah, fresh powder is great, but we were there at the wrong time. Mm. Next year. It's a luck thing.
I think they're probably the west of the country is better.
For powder? Mm. Yeah, I'd like to go to Stranda, actually.
Mm.
Really, really want to go there.
My brother and his girlfriend, they have split boards, so they go sort of...
Yeah, they just hike.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I haven't really done that. Like, it's always been kind of safe stuff, because there's, like, avalanche risk and stuff, which I'm not crazy about.
Yeah, you have to know what you're doing.
But I get to go on an avalanche course tomorrow night.
Cool.
See what happens if you live in Oslo, you get cool stuff like this.
Is this the time to mention that my brother actually has a bachelor's degree in what's in Norwegian called friluftsliv?
There is never not a good time to mention that. You can get a bachelor's degree in that?
Yeah, in Volda.
Of course. Say more. Unpack this for people who do not know what friluftsliv is.
Friluftsliv, it is... it's.
There's not English for this.
Yeah.
The fresh air life.
Like the fresh air in the Fresh Prince in Bel Air.
Yeah, your brother's got a degree in Will Smith. What? Like?
So it's it's related to all things that has to do with hiking and so on. Okay.
Like outdoor adventure sport type.
Outdoors.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the activities outdoors.
Yeah.
Not in urban areas.
Yeah.
Right?
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness. And they have made an academic program for this where they teach about sort of how to guide people through these environments and how to make food outside. They had a course that was about how yeast works.
This is so cool. It's amazingly cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they, of course, do a lot of trips into right. mountains. Well, and
you can't have all this happening in a classroom. That would be kind of antithetical to the whole... Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there are people listening to this rolling their eyes going, oh my God, you can get a degree in anything now. But, like, that actually sounds, like, relevant and useful for Norway. So what does your brother do? Has he done something with the degree? Or is it, like, he has all that knowledge now but isn't necessarily using it professionally? Or what?
He is sort of... Because he works at an institution for... youth that has behavioral problems and okay. so on.
So do they take them out a lot?
Yeah, and that's a really intense job.
No shit.
So it's like you work for a weekend or something and you are sort of on call at the place, and then you have 2 weeks off where he used those 2 weeks to surf on Stutt and or go into the mountains and so on. And nice. Brew beer. Like the drink, not the animal.
See, that yeast course was useful.
Yeah.
Nice. It's a very interesting life.
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't mind to talk about something. This is not even a handbrake turn of a tangent. But Ellis asked us about conformity.
Yeah.
Listener Ellis. I have more time than I thought, by the way, so...
But do our listeners...
Do our listeners, well... I think we have... I think we've demonstrated how... Anyway.
Let's talk about conformity next time.
Okay.
If that's okay.
That is okay. That is okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Why would I not be sure?
I don't want to offend you.
Am I easily offended?
I don't know.
I
just want to be assured that we are on the same page here.
I'm literally looking at it. yeah, for sure. It is a longer thing than perhaps we have time for.
Yeah, so. Because there's an article in Bloomberg about Denmark and how and they just link together the Scandinavian countries and so on.
Well, the same, obviously.
But there's probably some stuff to unpack there.
Yeah, there's...
So, yeah.
There's a discussion worth of stuff there, I think. Wow. Mm. Hmm. It's funny that you mention Frihetsliv, because I had to do some homework for my... I'm back in having lessons, Norwegian lessons.
Those Norwegian lessons, are they hosted by the Norwegian guy?
That would be great. But like that would be indoctrination. That wouldn't actually be Norwegian language. That would just be like I'd just come out of class going, Norway is the best country. Norway has the best waffles in the world. Norway's, yeah, which is fine. But I'm not sure I need to pay like quite that much money to. I'm already convinced. I'm okay. Sold. I bought a house. I like it. I don't want to move back. I don't need to pay for a Norwegian guy.
Yeah, you got homework.
Yeah, I got homework. She was like, write about something, and I left my homework to the last minute, as one does. And I was just like, oh, what will I write about? Oh, I'll write about Frihetsliv, because it's like, it's this concept that English doesn't really equate. Mm. Like, it doesn't have a... We talk about the outdoor life, but when you do that, you're basically saying, this is probably a person who works outdoors. Probably doing something like, I don't know, like a lumberjack or something like that. Or, you know, has a big chunk of their life outdoors. And actually, this is a thing that every Norwegian can have, is an outdoor life in that sense. Isn't the outdoor life, is that the best translation? I don't... Mm. Yeah. Exactly. It's hard. It doesn't neatly translate. But, like, and so I ended up writing several paragraphs about, like, how this is a thing that English doesn't have a word for, and that probably reflects the culture, where it's not uncommon for people to go out walking in the hills or whatever, but it's not this sort of, it's not treated with the same kind of, hello. How do you describe? Yeah. It's not like a God-given right.
Yeah.
And here it's like a thing. It's like your birthright as a Norwegian to go and wander in the forest and preferably not die or be eaten by bears.
Or hares.
Or hares, yeah, giant hares, yeah. But, like, yeah, it's really interesting. It's this taken for granted, wow, talk about mixing languages, taken for granted thing that everyone's just like, well, obviously. And when you move, and when you go skiing, if you go into Nordmarka, which I guess is your, is there a Vestmarka? I don't think so.
No.
Well, if you go anywhere kind of like within vague reach of the city, you just be like, all these people, get out of my way.
That's interesting because actually the outdoors are crowded.
Right. Particularly on a Sunday because the shops are closed, so you kind of have to go outdoors, right? Yeah. And maybe that's like a difference between here and there, like for even smaller differences material. Is that, like, if you go out into the middle of nowhere, maybe less so where your new house is, but, like, generally over there, it's just going to be full of other people enjoying themselves.
Yeah, and but you can, so if you are a family, you will probably go to these places where everyone else is going, because parking and prepared tracks and so on. But if you are by yourself or just two of you, people also make some effort to find the secret places, right?
Right, right.
Where people don't usually seek.
And I have some hints from colleagues about, like, where to do that.
Yeah.
The prepared tracks thing, it goes quite far out of Oslo. I don't know, like, how this is managed, like, in smaller places outside Oslo, but what they do is they drive like a little tractor thing, and it puts down two nice even little tracks for the skis to run in, so that people don't have the bother of having to create new tracks for themselves. How tedious. And they maintain them really regularly, and there's this whole network of stuff, but, like, at what point do you know that you've left civilization, because, like, no one is doing that and you're just off in the, like, do you know you live in the middle of nowhere in Norway when no one is doing these tracks for you and you just have to do them yourself? Like, even if you live in, like, a town or a village?
I'm not sure.
Oh. Well, maybe where you live, like, maybe there will be, like, maintained tracks. I don't know.
Not where I live, because that wouldn't be sort of feasible. But if you go sort of up into the mountains from...
Yeah.
There are... of course, tracks in Voss and so on.
Right, but, like, are they maintained, or are they just there because everyone goes there?
There they are maintained.
Right, but where you're moving to, I'm wondering.
There was a lot of maintained tracks there.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So there's a web page where you can sort of
find out what's available. Right. I
counted 44 tracks.
Oh, wow. So. Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
There's a lot of plain fields and so on.
So, like, are these going through people's farms?
Yeah.
Do they mind?
I
mean, they're not using it right then, right? Because it's covered in snow, but, like...
And also the Allemansrett, I guess.
Right. Your right to roam.
Mm.
In your face, farmer. I have a right, I have a God-given right to ski in your field. Is it less Norwegian / less echt to be doing cross-country skiing in pre-prepared tracks than it is to be, like, forging your own path in the middle of nowhere somewhere?
I never thought about that. Probably not. But,
Norwegians like someone to have actually bothered to, like, astroturf the thing first.
But there is the Protestant ethic of skiing.
Suffering.
Probably that, it has to be hard.
You can suffer in prepared tracks. I've done it.
And that's the thing, because it has moved into sort of the training fitness thing.
Right, and less about survival.
Yeah. Where I guess you would prefer prepared tracks, because you're going fast and long. But for the more the hiking part, I guess the sort of the unprepared terrain would be sort of an ideal.
Be the kind of Norwegian.
Yeah.
Is there a prefix in Norwegian that's like You know, like in German, like primordial.
Urnorsk, yeah, certainly.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Okay, cool.
I guess you could probably make a web search for Urnorsk and find stuff.
I'm looking. Someone's WordPress blog.
There's always a WordPress blog.
Urnordisk is a word.
You may find some politically problematic stuff.
I haven't. I'm on Wikipedia. It's okay. I think this is a thing about linguistics rather than that. Okay. Yeah, I haven't got to the sort of crazy white people, and that's fine. That's fine.
Yes, it's so.
Well, it's not that they exist. Well, it's not fine, but what are you going to do? Yeah.
Let's have some cultural picks of the week.
Okay. I might have had mine. It might have been going skiing during Vinterferie.
Yeah.
Which is the winter holiday here, which is not the winter holiday like Christmas, but which is half term in English.
It's between the winter and Easter.
Right. It's that week that people take off with their kids in February.
In the winter holiday, you prepare for the Easter holiday where you really go skiing and eating oranges and quick lunch.
Right, it's like a build-up to Easter.
Mm.
Yeah. I did see several families having picnics in the snow in the last week, and who had gone on like long trips, obviously, and they had flasks of hot chocolate and blankets. Oh, it was charming, actually. It was a bit like being in the 1950s.
Would you say it's hyggelig?
Kjempehyggelig.
Yeah.
No. So I felt that was a very Norwegian thing to do.
I just remembered. I have told you about the chocolate curve. So when you are a child and going skiing with parents, right? It's probably really like 2 kilometers or something. But it feels really, really far when you are a small person. The way that parents incentivize you to proceed is to say that around the next corner there will be chocolate.
Okay.
Or a quick lunch. Or
okay.
And you go to the... And then you perhaps... Yeah, we're not really there yet.
Oh, so they don't give you it, but then they dangle that carrot a little. Oh, that's just mean, man. If you're going to promise something, you've got to deliver.
Yeah, but you will get the chocolate eventually. It will be the best bite of chocolate you ever
had. Because you'll have been lighter 5 times on the way there.
So, yeah.
Jeez. Oh, man. Well, now I have questions about your parents, but like, let's save that for another episode. Okay. So you're not bitter?
No. I'm indoctrinated, I guess.
Well, I guess I should be grateful that you're not bringing up children, so you're not going to revisit these unfortunate practices on them.
I can do that with
other people's children. Yeah. Sure, yeah, that's totes legit.
Perhaps not. Let's not go
there. Do not let Uncle Knut take the children skiing.
There's a guy there handing out chocolate in the ski track.
Yeah, problematic. Yeah.
So anyway,
cultural pick.
Cultural pick. I know you have watched this, and it's an American pick. if that's even allowed.
Is that allowed? Tell me why it's relevant to this podcast.
Just because I'm watching it now and right. I find it great. Halt and Catch Fire.
Was that a recommendation from me, or did you know about it anyway? Because I've been plugging it since I got here.
I knew about it, but your recommendation tipped me on over the edge, and I started watching it.
Where are you?
I have just watched the first season.
Mm. Which is very good.
There's a hotel room and a thing. Spoilers-ish. No, or not really.
Not really.
But, yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's familiar in some senses.
Yeah.
There's some things, so I don't always sort of, I'm not always convinced about the motivations and some of the characters. So these characters, they are allegedly very smart and so on, but sometimes they behave in a bit immaturely, I guess. And I would say, you are smarter than this. But I understand you have had the drama and some blah blah blah. But,
do you think it's so? I guess the distinction is: do you think that they're being poorly written, or do you think that this is actually very accurate? Because like the thing I like about it is it's created some great characters who are all flawed.
Yeah,
and you want them to succeed.
Yeah,
and they keep destroying themselves, and. That's really compelling television.
But 6 Feet Under did that for 6 seasons.
I think this is better than 6 Feet Under. I think it's more subtle.
Yeah, but what's interesting is you say that, but there are also growth going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You've got to see characters grow. If they're the same character, like this is my problem with Lilyhammer, by the way, which I never finished watching, was that like it became increasingly apparent that the character isn't going to change.
No.
And that's not interesting.
No.
There you go. That's your tenuous cultural connection here.
It's the drama in Lilyhammer is entirely put in the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. But the character doesn't change.
Mm.
But these characters do.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And I like that your relationship as a viewer, well, mine anyway, changes in response to them. And you're like, oh, I thought I knew who this person was and where they are, and now I'm not sure. And I like that grayness, that uncertainty.
And there are some accuracy about computers.
Good.
So if you liked Mr. Robot for talking about Linux distributions, you will like this TV.
Did Mr. Robot do a good job with that?
With technology? Yeah, surprisingly good job. With that.
I can't remember obviously wincing at anything.
But so Mr. Robot, it is obviously
things.
Not that realistic in a broad sense, but the details are pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Halt and Catch Fire seems like they've done their homework on the tech.
They have.
That's nice. You gonna watch season 2?
Yeah, we'll begin watching season 2 soon. And 3 and 4, I guess.
Is there a 4? We're in 3.
I'm not sure. There will be seasons.
Hmm. Do you have a word of the week?
Do I have a word of the week? I guess that would be dränering.
Because it has occupied so much of your time.
Yeah. Or Tuxedman.
Yeah. You can have like a meta word of the week if you want, which is that Norwegian seems to delight in adding extra syllables to words from English. So draining becomes dränering. Parking becomes parkering. Automation becomes automatisering. To the point where my husband and I had 5 minutes of conversation at the weekend where he was trying to... We'd both read the same article in Norwegian and he was trying to tell me about it and he couldn't remember what the English for automation was because he was like, automatization, automization, what? And we just kept putting in extra syllables, and after 5 minutes we're like, automation, yes, automation, it's that short. Norwegian loves to add extra syllables.
So learning Norwegian actually ruins your...
It is demonstrably ruining my English every day. I'll live with that.
That's because Norwegian, the Norwegian language, it's the stronger language.
Okay, careful, we just went down the whole thing there. Don't... Ooh, whoa.
It has double as many features, and it's more effective, and compound words, man, that's the killer feature.
Yeah, it's a good feature, I like it. Unfortunately, it becomes impossible to guess how to do that. Like, you have to just try it. Stick words together, it'll be fine. Trenering. It occurred to me that I have a word of the week. What is the thing called that you wipe the shower with that's got like a rubber blade in Norwegian that you drag down the walls?
Nal.
Nal? Spell it?
N-A-L.
Okay. What does it mean?
The thing that you...
Is it a squeegee? If you have a word for... a relationship to the word squeegee?
I don't have a relationship, but that sounds more like the...
stress ball.
No, not the stress ball, but the...
Hand gestures are happening here, but I'm none the wiser. Help me.
What in Norwegian would we will call a swamp?
A mop?
A sponge.
Oh, sponge, sorry, yeah.
Squeegee and sponge, it sounds real similar. Right.
Squeegee, I think, is onomatopoeic. Like, squeegee, squeegee, squeegee. Yeah. But it's the, thing that, it's the thing that you wipe with. Yeah. It's the, nal.
Nal.
Et nal?
En nal.
En nal, okay.
Of course.
Of course. For you.
Flere
naler?
You don't ever see several...
Not even at a car wash?
No. There's only one.
Okay. One nal.
So I'm not sure about the plural of that.
It must be naler.
Yeah, it must be, but it sounds weird.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've never used the squeegees. No. Have I ever said squeegees? Is that like Lauren Hill?
Squee guy.
Squeegesses. Yeah. This is a little cultural pick also, is that like in Scandinavia it's totally the norm to like squeege your shower after you take a shower.
Everyone does that every time. Not, certainly.
Says the expression on his face, not actually. But like generally culturally it's what you do, right? Right? No? You don't want damp in your house? You don't want water all over your bathroom, so the thing to do after you shower is to like... This seems like a really Scandinavian preoccupation to me. It's a thing that almost no one in the UK does, as far as I know.
If you for some reason have chosen to have sort of a no shower doors, or so that when you shower it ends up in...
Oh, I see. Well, even if you have like a cubicle, like people still do it, no?
Well,
which we don't, by the way, we just have walls.
If you want some clean shower doors or cabinets, I guess you wanted to do that because water, it leaves
some marks.
Yeah. But are people, do they bother? Perhaps they do.
I don't know. I first learned about this from a Swede who does it like religiously.
Of course the Swedes does this.
But then if you stay in a hotel in Scandinavia, you're pretty likely to have a squeegee in the bathroom.
You like, do that in a hotel?
Some places have a squeegee for doing this. In Sweden and Finland.
That's the point of the hotel. You don't have to do this stuff because they have people that you pay...
Protestantism. Do the work.
Because I can understand why someone at home decides that this is a thing we do, because cleaning these doors after 2 weeks of showering, it's tedious and you have to scrub and so on. But yeah,
we do it so the house isn't damp. I think that's the primary reason to do it, is not to have a cold bathroom where there's lots of water lying around.
Don't you have ventilation?
We have one of those fan things. But a consequence of having one of those is that it makes the bathroom colder than it would be. Because there's a hole to the outside.
You have the wrong fan.
We will be doing the bathroom at some point, but it's going to cost.
Yeah,
that's not going to cost. Yeah, I know. I'm not looking forward to that.
But
we also have the world's tiniest bathroom.
You have the world's tiniest bathroom?
Yeah. I feel like it is.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm. Okay, so not universal.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. N equals
2.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to like run some kind of survey in Slack to find out. Like.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Noted. And null.
And I guess next week we will come back with the results. And whether you should feel good or bad about how you treat your bath.
And then we can talk about conformism or conformity and like whether it's okay to not squeegee in a country of squeegeers.
If you are visiting a friend's house and you find a knoll in the shower, will you or won't you do the thing?
Well, that's a good question. What would you do?
Next week.
Oh.
Some small differences.
Cliffhangers.
Ha det bra. Takk for at du hørte på.
Ha det bra.